podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it's Tor Live. It's just after 4 o'clock on Friday. I hope you're looking forward to the weekend. Liverpool men not in action. You can go and see Liverpool women on Sunday. They're playing Chelsea as well. 5 o'clock, Prenton Park. Get yourself down. We'll do a little bit more on that towards the end. But Liverpool did play this week. We did get a game on against Ajax. So we're going to look a little bit about that, look at what was better, and a little bit of a look at the season so far as we go into this first international break. I think it is. It's probably second, maybe fifth. Who knows, the mad army. What is a season? To answer the question, what is a season? I've got Paul Johnson, I've got Phil Blundell. We've hopefully got Adam Smith join us at some points as well. And I'll start with you, Phil. You know, Tuesday night, it's been interesting reflecting on it. I've seen a lot of average positions and things like that, and a lot of things people talking about. What was different, certainly from the right-hand side, it did look like we were trying to do things a little bit differently on Wednesday night, maybe Tuesday night, sorry, with our structure, and it seemed to pay off.
Yeah, it did. I mean, we dominated the game, didn't we? We had 20-odd shots. They had three. I mean, ironically, they probably should have scored with one of the three towards the end when Danny Blind. No, that's just that. Danny Blind.
There's a lot of Blinds, isn't there?
I feel like
I've watched three generations of them. Can't be
it's like that stat, isn't it, about, is it Peter Shilton? There's three players who basically, Stanley Matthews, Peter Shilton, and somebody else who basically played in, one of the three of them has played in every league season since 1931 or something ridiculous. It's a bit like that with the Blind family, isn't it? But yeah, we dominated the game, which we haven't done much of. We created a fair few chances, which you felt we should have probably done better with and usually do another day. And I got to half time and I sort of said to my brother next to me, you know, it's nice to be able to say that we could be 4-0 up here, because it's not something you've said all season in terms of actually watching Liverpool and thought, well, we should be winning here. We played really well, because it was nice to, even though we weren't actually winning at the time, it was nice to be in a position to say we've done well enough to be out of this with a really positive result. I personally thought one of the biggest things we had was a bit more intensity and a bit more, the mindset just looked better to me. There was a bit, everything was a yard sharper, everything was a yard faster. There was a little bit more oomph about them. And what it sounds really like slightly lazy, a little bit cliche, but they just looked like they wanted it a bit more to me than they have done in previous games. And that was nice to see that was the way that they decided there was a problem and they'd fight to fix it.
Yeah, the fight intensity words used there, Paul, and that's what I saw really. It was a little bit back to basics, but not to sort of, you know, cheapen that really. You know, by back to basics, I mean back to what this team's good at, what this team is all about, and back to a little bit more of our identity as well.
If 100%, I think Phil said was spot on, and I think what we've all said that's been lacking for this season has been that normal, what you get as a you know, you get it no matter what. You get the intensity, you get the passion, you get the energy, you get them backing each other up, and that's been lacking, hasn't it? You know, and you know, in some games it's been, you know, we couldn't be further from the truth. So to get that back, even though, as you say, John, it's probably not a basic for all teams, but it is a basic for us, and we got that, and that did then, you know, obviously, you know, then result in a better performance. And like Phil said, we could have easily have been, you know, we could have won that game 3-4-1 easily. But it was nice to get over the line. And, you know, I think, you know, it's always nice to get a last minute winner, and Big Joe with it is fantastic as well. But there was so many, much more, you walk off the ground feeling so much more positive, because, you know, if you look at the Newcastle game and okay, Bournemouth was different, but the Newcastle game could have gone either way. You know, it was, you know, although we did have spells, they had their spells. When you walked out against Ajax, you felt like, you know, it was the right result. The performance was good, and we deserved the result. So, you know, that was great to get that. And it was, you know, a big 3 points we needed in the group to make sure, you know, we wouldn't want to go two games and only have a point. So that was all good. So really pleasing.
Yeah, we do have Adam Smith now. Adam, I'll start you on a nice, gentle, easy one. Last minute winners are fun. Oh, we can't hear you. See, I thought it was easy, but never mind.
No, it is easy.
Hey.
It was my fault. It was me. Yeah. So, yeah, last minute winners are great. I forever and always have said that all goals should be scored after people have left to go and beat the traffic or whatever. Like if
quality control.
If, yeah, exactly. If I could make the law, then that'd be sort of what I'd do. And I, where my ticket for the Newcastle game was upper main stand, which I'd never been in before, and didn't realise that basically, because of my MS and everything else, couldn't really see the pitch properly and felt dizzy. So I left and missed the goal in that one. Which served me absolutely right, frankly. The Ajax one, fantastic. It, not quite as dramatic, was it? Unfortunately, as the Newcastle one, but still pretty brilliant. Yeah, they're just great.
I think we will forgive you if you literally can't see what's going on. I think we'll let you off. And also dizziness is an excuse. It is. It's nice though, isn't it, Phil? Because you know you'd listen. In the long term, winning by 3 or 4 is more beneficial. You know, you're cutting out margins of error and things like that. But the fact that, as you know, we're not flying at the moment, these late goals, I feel like we'll be giving them a lot. I thought the celebration was brilliant. I loved Thiago. I loved, obviously, Matip sort of going in, you know, the climbing all over them. Obviously, the Carvalho one's great as well. And moments like this can bring a squad together, can't it? And now they've done it twice. It's something that'll stick with them. You know, next time we go into a situation where we're 1-0.
Absolutely. I think what they get out of it is quite interesting, because I sort of felt like, I thought Thiago's general behaviour was quite interesting. Not his actual performance on the pitch, which was fantastic. We might talk about that later, I don't know, but he was obviously brilliant. But it kind of felt like he's come in as sort of a bit of an alien to the problems, and that he hasn't been playing in this period where we've not been great. And he's seen from the outside almost that there's a bit of a mentality problem with them, not necessarily that they all net, but just a bit of negativity around them, and that they needed sort of lifting. And I thought a big part of what he was doing was he was getting the crowd bang up for it. He was, I mean, there's a free kick that Luis Diaz wins with about just after we score, probably a minute or so after we score, and he basically picks him up and fronts him like he's going to headbutt him or something like that. Yeah. And he was doing all these things to try and just lift the mood. And it feels like, you know, they possibly did need the mood lifting, so that is almost better than, you know, it's probably almost better than winning 9-0 against Bournemouth in terms of what they get out of it, the real high, because ultimately winning 9-0 is great, but you don't celebrate the ninth goal in the way you celebrate an 88-minute winner or a 98-minute winner, do you? You feed off it and you get something from it, and it gives you a real sort of, you walk out the ground with a buzz that you just don't get from that 9-0, which sounds like I'm downplaying a 9-0, which I'm absolutely not doing. It's just different ways to come out the same thing, and I think they really did need something, and it might be that winning that way was better than sort of winning 3-0 and having an armchair ride through the second half.
Yeah, because, I mean, I agree with that, Paul, in that you sensed with the team that, you know, they were getting a bit down about it. And I wouldn't quite say sort of feeling sorry for themselves, but, you know, there was doubts creeping into the mind. There was, you know, heavy legs, heavy minds, perhaps, really. And then something like that happens, and it does make you, you know, as a player, but also as a squad, feel like anything's possible. If they do, we know if we bring the right intensity, if we do the right things, if we play right till the final whistle, then the rewards are there for us.
Yeah, and again, what Phil was saying there about, you know, Thiago orchestrating the crowd, I think it's very easy to come out and, you know, pump the crowd up and you'll get them going. But the crowd feeds off what's going on the pitch, doesn't it? And it was clear with Thiago, because he was playing so well, obviously, you know, the performance was better. Then that does give you a lift. And as I say, when he did that to Diaz, it was quite close to where I was sitting in the Annie Road end. And all of a sudden, I'm up, you know, pumping my fist like it, saying, get in there. And literally, he'd won a free kick. But when he went off, it was very visible. He walked off at the kind of Dalglish side, and then he had to walk right round, and he got a massive ovation round. So, I mean, and there's a lot been said about Thiago and how crucial he is. And I think it's not just, you know, how he plays and how he can dictate the play for us, but how he can also do that. John, you've mentioned, you know, he seemed to come in and give everyone a lift, both the crowd, the rest of the team, and also the performance then lifted as well. So we just need to wrap him up in absolute cotton. Well, I'm so pleased he didn't get called up for the Spanish squad. I really am.
Well, there's more of that in part two or part four. If you're listening as a podcast, we're going to talk about the internationals and who's going where and who's doing what and stuff like that. But yeah, a little bit of a spoiler there. Thiago's bouncing around the Baltic Quarter, taking arty pictures. That's what he's doing over the next 2 weeks. And hey, why not? I love the little walk around, Adam, because it made much more sense to go to the Anfield Road away because that's where he was. But he was like, no, I'm going to go all the way around. I'm going to have a little chat to the cop and just say, come on, lads, you know, keep going. You know, it was like, you know, I'm going to, you might have took me off, but I'm still going to try and make a difference here.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? You want to, you know, you want to get as much adoration and love and joy and everything else as you possibly can, wouldn't you? You know, and
like it's like you when you do all the what football means to me tweets. You know, you're just trying to pull it on.
Exactly. All I'm trying to do is just get people to praise me, and that's exactly what Thiago was doing. Fair to say, he got more praise than I ever get, but you know, it's not about that. It's not about that, John. And yeah, look, I don't blame him. I'd go the long way round as well. That's not true at all. I would not go the long way around because I'd get a stitch, clearly. I'd go the shortest way possible, straight off, no messing around. But he's a significantly fitter man than I am, although same hair, so I'm taking that.
Yeah, absolutely. Loads of comments on Thiago. Abdom is here saying Thiago took responsibility, which I think is an excellent word to use. And Clarence Worley saying Thiago is captain material. Who knows? Maybe you'll get it. But, I mean, you can't have too many leaders on the pitch, Phil, is what I would say. And he demonstrated leadership, you know, armband or not, sort of, you know, on there. I mean, you made the point before about the fact that, you know, he hasn't been involved as much recently, and I think, you know, that helped Matip as well, you know, for sort of coming in. They're not as sort of tainted by everything, you know. They haven't had the, you know, I'm sure, listen, they'll have been frustrated watching, because all players are, you know, no matter how the team's playing, but especially when they're struggling. But I thought for them to come in with all their experience and just be a bit, you know, lighter on the feet, I felt, both in terms of they've not had the games, but also, you know, they've not had the weight of everything. You could really tell that.
Yeah, and it works both ways, that as well. I think it's not just from it's them coming in as different. It's the teammates looking at them and going, well, hang on, he wasn't there last week when that bad thing happened. And it sort of, it gives them a feeling of, oh, well, we can find our way out of it this in different ways. Because, you know, let's be honest, it's not been great, has it, previous week? So something needed to be different. And the easiest thing to make things different is just to bring great footballers in, and we're thankfully in a position where great footballers have come back and we've been able to change things that way. It's nice to have these players available, and if we can keep them available, then we really should be looking to kick out of this. And I think after, you know, they've all had a nice break and put the feet up, and the manager's been able to work out what to do over what is a mad period, the next 6 weeks of actual football, we should hopefully get ourselves into a nice position just before the World Cup starts.
As we sort of reflect on this chunk of season as a whole, Paul, and look at it, a look ahead, do you think it is as simple as get as many as fit as possible and we know what we can do? Or do you think that there's other things that they need to be looking at that they still weren't necessarily right against Ajax that you'd like to see more of when they do come back?
A bit of both, really, John. I think obviously you're getting that bench and squad as fully fit as possible is going to be huge, and I don't think you can underestimate, you know, how powerful that is. You know, I thought Jota played very well on Tuesday, and you know, having him back fit is going to be a brilliant option. Again, people are talking about Nunes, and you know, he didn't start, and I think. You know, they're going to be working with him, aren't they, as well? And it's going to be one of those with him. I feel that it's going to need time. You know, you look at Robertson. You know, everyone, you know, says about him when he came in, he didn't play for a good while, and then he got in, and then the place was his. I think that's going to be similar with Nunes. I do think he's going to need time. So as a lot, but when you've got that full squad of and with the quality we've got, playing with him, I think that will come, you know what I mean? I think it will come eventually. And I just think that when you've got all the quality around him and all the quality around the rest of your players, your performances are going to improve. The Ajax one now is, you know, a good little stepping stone, isn't it, to kick on from there? Because as, you know, Phil and you alluded to, you know, we've got a very, very busy schedule coming up, and you know, we are going to need our squad. You know, you can't be expecting maybe Thiago, you know, to be playing, you know, Saturday, Wednesday, you know, three games in a week. So we are going to need to rely on the squad. So hopefully, getting a few back fit is going to have a massive bonus on that. And then also, you know, when you're in a, you know, playing football, we've watched it for years. I mean, even when you play yourself, when you're in a role or when you're in a, you know, a good rut, should you say, performances do come easier. And I think that's hopefully what we're going to see. You know, we get back to the winner mentality, and also just knowing what it feels like to win. And as as we've said before, a last minute winner probably is a better way to move on than if we'd have won 3 or 4 nil against Ajax, which again would have been nice. But I think the way you win it in the last minute, I think that's a good little stepping stone to go on from there.
Yeah, it's Adam. Paul mentioned Darwin Núñez there, and he's one who I think we'd have liked to have seen a little bit more of, both in terms of literally on the pitch, not being banned would have been good, but also sort of just, you know, generally, I think. But I don't know, the speed to sort of decide on him, I don't know, really sort of baffles me. You know, again to reference Paul, there's, you know, talk about other players who we don't necessarily see for months, but obviously he comes in with a big target, so there's bigger expectation. But I found, and it's not just, you know, parts of our fan base really, it's worldwide. You know, someone here is you know, good cop, bad cop, thoughts on the Diego Torres LP article about Darwin. And I did read that, and it was a journalist saying, you know, it's already, you know, one of Klopp's biggest miscalculations. And I don't know what it just feels to me. I don't know what the speed is to judge. I don't feel like we've got any full information either way to decide whether he's worth 80 million quid or not.
I think it's fear, John, to be honest. I think it's fear that we've made a mistake. Look, I'm an idiot, and I don't know why you ask me on shows, because I don't know what I'm talking about. But in my, you know, amateur take on things, it feels like we have changed the way that we play a little bit to base it around a kind of more traditional number nine. And throughout Klopp's entire tenure, we've played with a false nine, basically. And it feels like we've shifted things now to try to accommodate Núñez. And what's happening is he's not A, on the pitch, as you say, but B, he's not banging in like a hat-trick every game like some fellas in other cities that are nearby. And so I think there's a fear amongst the fan base that, shit, if we bought a dud, basically. I think that's a kind of the fear that some people are having. And I think... And I've had it a little bit, to be honest with you. You know, when you see the ball bouncing off his foot and all that sort of thing. But when you look at the numbers, I think what's actually happening is that he's just trying too hard. He's getting into good positions. He's getting assists, goals, expected assists. They're all looking good. You know, the actual stats on it all are totally fine. And I think that he's trying too hard, you know, almost especially, I guess, after the red card, where he feels like he's perhaps got to make something up to us for getting sent off and all that. And that's what I think's happening. And once he starts to relax and realise, you know, that he's just part of the team and he's part of the squad and he doesn't need to worry about it. And also, to be fair, once some of the other lads that are there that are fit, so there isn't so much pressure on him, now Jota's coming back, for example, it makes it a little bit easier. Once all that starts to happen, I think he'll start to calm down and he'll just start scoring goals. Because that performance he put in against us last season is one of the best performances by an away striker that I've seen at Anfield. He was unbelievable. And it wasn't, from what I understand about, you know, what he's been able to do, that wasn't just a one-off thing. So I think he'll start to relax. And I saw something the other day where somebody said, and I don't know who it is, so I can't credit them, but they said on Twitter basically that they think that, that Haaland is the, you know, the player for now, but Núñez is going to be the player for the long term. And I think that might well turn out to be true.
Phil, you're a sensible man. What have you made of all the Darwin Núñez discourse?
I always think with players, there's a race to be the first one to say something. And in this instance, it's the first one to decide he's not good enough and that the transfer's a flop and that Liverpool have done something wrong. And there's a real desire for people to go, well, look, I told you, I said this months ago, and I've never really got it, because what are you getting out of being right? But I think it's definitely a mindset that people have. Personally, I think you've seen signs there that there's something there. And ultimately, you remember, he's not played the full 90 minutes yet. He started twice. I think he's come on three times. It's not many. Like I thought Fulham away, I thought he came on. I thought he was great. I thought he provided. It was mostly chaotic great, but I thought he provided a real outlet and he really got involved and he made us a better team on the day. And he looked like a person you can make a focal point of an attack. And that is, as you've said, not something that we've had for a very long time. We haven't really had an attack where it's got a central point that everyone feeds off. So it's going to take a period of adaptation. And when it's going to, when you've got a striker who needs to be adapted to and a team who look like they're trying to do something different and it's not going very well, it's like a perfect storm for this negativity to breed. And you've got to always blame someone for the negativity. It's never able to just be, that's just how it is. There's got to be a reason for it. And the reason in this instance is Darwin Nunes. And I just don't get it. I think a lot of what Adam says is right there about the trying too hard thing. I think that the chance he has where he flashes it just past the post second half the other night, he looked like he wants to be really precise with it and took it just right inside the bottom corner, when if he's a bit more confident and he's a bit more in the groove, he might just have absolutely webbed it and it goes straight in. It might have got blocked, it might have gone out for a corner, whatever, but he might have just done something a little bit different that, when he was playing for Benfica, that's what he would have done, because that's how he knows that he can succeed. I think he'll be fine. I just think it might take a little bit of time. And, you know, he's not helped by being compared to Erling Haaland, really, is he? It's not helpful for anyone whatsoever.
Yeah, scoring a lot of goals, but plenty still to play for this season. We're going to take a little bit of a break now in terms of the studio. If you are enjoying this live, it'll just be 30 seconds or so, probably not even that. If you enjoyed it as a podcast, I'm now going to speak to Cheap Frills, who are a Liverpool band about their song Codependence being used on the LFC European kit launch. I'm also going to speak to Kieran Moran, who's an Irish musician who's just launched a new EP, and he's over here in Liverpool and London over the next week or so playing some songs, and then we're going to be back within this panel on Restream talking about the Reds and international break. So yeah, enjoy the rest of the show. That was John Gibbons for the Anfield Wrap, and this is a review courtesy of Audio Boom. Thanks a lot to Audio Boom for everything they do for us, and Harry's Razors, who've been partnering with us for a long time as well. And Harry's help guys feel good. You may think of them as a super sharp razor company, but Harry's is way more than that. They're here to revamp your whole routine, from close shaves and flake-free hair all the way to clear, healthier skin. They are so confident that you will enjoy their razors. They're offering a £0 trial, so you just pay the postage, which is £3.95, and you can get a trial kit over to you to give it a go. And in that trial set, you get the expertly engineered weighted handle, the 1.5 blade cartridge, crafted by artisans in their own German factory, complete with precision trimmer, a handy foaming shave gel for effective lubrication, the travel blade cover for life's adventures, and also for you guys, you also get a free hydrating night lotion. So if you sign up with Harry's, you get this free hydrating night lotion as well. And anyone who saw me on Talking Reds this week, sleep deprived because of a young baby who's packed in, I very much need that. So I'm going to be taking that up on that offer as well. Harry's have been partnering with us for a long time, and I mentioned that before, and every now and again they'll send us some stuff over, and everyone is really impressed with it. It's the only razor I currently use. They sent one over, so I was able to sort Michael out this week, and I know Neil, make sure he subscribes as well after using it. So it is a very impressive shave, in particular for me. I've got quite sensitive skin, actually, so I need a really good shave gel, and I find with the one that it offers me a nicer, smoother shave than any others I've used. So if you want to get stuck in, go to harrys.com/wrap. Obviously, that's WRAP. harrys.com/wrap. You get that trial set, the free night lotion. £3.95 is all you pay. And yeah, I'm pretty confident, and they're obviously very confident that you won't regret it. Thanks a lot to Harry's for partnering with us. And it is John Gibbons for Tour Live. I'm delighted to be joined over Zoom by the absolute boys. I've got the Cheap Frills with me. Lads, thanks so much for joining me on a lovely Friday night.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful tonight.
So the reason we've got you on is to talk about a recent song of yours that has been used in a pretty cool way. People will have seen Liverpool unveiled their new ticket a week or so ago, and the soundtrack was by these gentlemen. So tell us how it happened, first of all.
Well, yeah, it was just out of the blue. We just got an email off the media agency representing Liverpool. They said they liked the track. Can you sign us NDA and we can speak more about it? We were a bit like, what? Liverpool want to use it, which we're all Reds, obviously. And we're like, yeah, let's go. You chatted to them, and they basically said, like, the track's been around a while now, but it's been out as a band version, quite fast, and guitars, synths and all that. They said they loved the track, loved the lyrics, but that sort of style, what we had, like, it wouldn't really match what they thought.
Yeah, they listened to like an acoustic version of Lou, like a live version, yeah, wasn't it, from like years ago.
One that I had about, yeah, 7 pints, and they were like, like that one.
They found a video from like 2 years ago on YouTube, and I like 30 plays. I don't know how they found it, but they loved, yeah, it, didn't they? Yeah, and they were like, can you re-record this like in a studio? So we went away and done it.
So went away, did the Candlelight remix of the song, and then it was unleashed. And then, you know, did you sort of hear, did you see the final version before it went out, or were you the same as everyone else?
Well, it was me and Terry got a little sneak peek before, the lads were there, and our heads fell off, to be fair.
We were nervous, man, like, you don't know what's going to turn out, like, we know it was going to go out to millions of people, and you're like, oh. But yeah, they absolutely smashed it. It was unbelievable.
So how was that, Teddy, when you saw it for the first time and it's your tune and then like all your heroes bouncing around in the new kit? It must have been quite surreal.
Oh, mate, it was mad, yeah. Like, me and Fitty bounced in the office in Speak where it was, and felt like it was like the director's cut, you know what I mean? So they've walked us in and that, and then they've got all like the jazzy speakers in the room. And we're sitting there waiting to get it on, and then there was a bit of delay in getting it on. So me and City are just like sitting there like two giddy kids, like, and then when we seen the clip, it was only like a minute long because it was more for the socials, the post, and it was unreal. Like, yeah, it was just goosebumpy watching it.
And since then, have you noticed a lot more people, you know, interested in the band? Because obviously there's Liverpool fans all around the world are seeing it. I thought it was dead cool, by the way, the Liverpool obviously credited you guys as well and asked you in and stuff like that, which they didn't have to do, really. Like, so they could have just, like, obviously used the track and just, I'm sure still would have been made up. But the fact that they said this is Liverpool Banshee Frills, I thought was really, like, decent of them. And then, so have you guys, people been getting in touch and saying they were listening to your other stuff and stuff like that?
It's been metal. It's been, like, on the day of it, our phones are just going off the heads. Like, it's never happened to us like that before. But yeah, everyone all over the world, like,
yeah, there's loads of people asking for the track, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's loads of people in the comments asking about, like, who's this and that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got asked to go and play Codependence at some Irish kid's wedding in Spain. Third arm next year, he's asked us.
the day it came out, my phone died twice, and, like, yeah, it was just crazy. Like, replying to loads of messages, constant, like, phone just lighting up. I don't know how people do it every day. They must have some form of special Twitter or something.
But it just shows that, you know, how good the band is, really, isn't it? And you know, this, you guys have been working hard for it for a long time, and, you know, I've now known you guys for a while, and obviously you've got a good name in the city and stuff like that, and you tour and you're building up, you know, fan base in other cities as well. But something like this can really kind of help take you to another level, really. It's almost like, I don't know, like you're going around the board on snakes and ladders, and Liverpool just throw a little ladder up there, it helps you get there a bit quicker.
The massive step up, definitely. Like, yeah, it helped us a lot. Like, we've had loads of people following us and stuff like that, and then these people will stick around for our next tunes, which is Boss.
So, in terms of, it's great because these are Liverpool fans and stuff like that, but also the fact that the club is looking to, you know, use local artists, and I'm sure you'd you know, maybe not been quite as made up, but, like, also been, like, made up if one of your mates' bands, like, got featured or something, because it's great that Liverpool, you know, they could just, like, I don't know, like, go on Spotify and find anything, really, couldn't they? But the fact that they wanted to use local bands is a good thing.
But that was one of the things when we were speaking to them, they was like, we wanted to be authentic. They said we could get, like, people in, the song might work, but they mightn't be Liverpool fans. And
did you use Keo, hadn't he? And, yeah, and Yusuf. Stone and Yusuf, yeah, as well. So I think that's the thing for this year, that the whole, like, meaning behind the campaign was, like, keeping it authentic with the music.
Yeah. The whole thing was, like, really raw, and even down to, like, every detail, where they wanted all the flags to be genuine flags on sets that they use. So, like, I know, like, Fitzy's dad and stuff brought loads of flags in for them, and all flags that go to the game and travel around the world, and literally every detail, it was genuine. I think they marked it brilliantly, because that just encapsulates what the club's about. Encapsulates, is that a word? Yeah.
It'll do for us now. So, at the moment, obviously, you know, I was speaking to you guys in the packing room. You're practicing all the time. You you know, you're a gigging band, you're hard working band and stuff like that. You know, lots more people wanting to hear you. So if people want to hear the other stuff, I know you guys are on Spotify and YouTube, but what's the best way to find all your stuff?
Probably just Twitter, just at The Cheap Thrills. Instagram at The Cheap Thrills with three S's. Yeah, it was just searches in Google. It won't take long for us to come up.
But yeah, Spotify is the main one that we really try and plug. We try and really push the Spotify.
Yeah.
Mostly.
And in terms of plans for the rest of the year, like, have you got sorts of gigs lined up or anything, or apart from weddings in Spain for Irish kids, like, what else have you got planned for the rest of the year?
Yeah, we've got gigs booked, and we want to announce a big Liverpool show soon. And now we're just writing music, and hopefully we'll get a big release out next year.
Yeah, there's a lot going on behind the scenes, like, being honest. But hopefully we can start getting it out soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
We might just stick to releasing football kits as well, John. I think that's going well for us now. So
see, I mean, they're out every year, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? So there'll always be work, you know. Just get a little video and send it out to like Real Madrid and stuff, and be like, we could do anything. Do you know what I mean?
This could be our Mariah Carey Christmas song that comes out every year. Just releasing kits.
Just a really weird niche, but if it works for you, no, why not? Listen, I would encourage everyone. The Boss Lads, I've known them for years, as I say, and the music's, you know, incredible. So I would encourage everyone to get onto the Spotify, do have a listen. The stuff that they normally do, the style is a little bit different from that track, but it's really cool. I would encourage people to check it out and go and see them live as well, because they're lively live, is what I would say. They don't leave anyone on the pitch. So come and see them. But no, boys, when I saw that, was made up for you. So nice one. And yeah, hopefully you get loads of new fans, because you deserve it. So cheers, Wellen.
Nice one, John.
Nice one, John.
Thanks very much, John.
And some more music chat for you now. But over to Dublin and to Kieran Moran, who's here to talk about his new EP and some shows he's doing in Liverpool, London, Dublin, and Belfast over the next few months. But first of all, Kieran, thanks for coming on. Welcome to the Anfield Rap.
Thanks very much for having me, John. Delighted to be involved. Thank you. Thanks for the invite as well.
So we'll start with today, because the EP is out today. I know you're really excited to get it out there. There's always that build-up, isn't it? And I know musicians can't wait to get it out. So the fact that you're finally on release day must be fantastic. And, you know, the fact that all these people who've been following it for a while get to hear these tunes.
Yeah, do you know what? The last couple of months and over the last year or so, I've been telling so many people online, and I'm constantly saying I have something good coming soon, or I have something cool on the way. And it always seemed like I was just kind of talking about it, you know. But now it's finally here, and I'm excited for people to hear it and see what I've kind of done over the last while. I put a lot of work into it, so I'm excited to get the response and see if people kind of approve of it, so to speak, you know.
I'm sure people have been messaging already saying that they were straight on there this morning onto Spotify or wherever and listening to it. And yeah, I'm sure you've had some good feedback already.
Yeah, to be honest, I thought when I woke up this morning, I'd have to kind of remind people that I was out today. And I've been kind of doing the whole social media thing in advance, like posting and sharing stuff on social media. But I had a lot of people on Instagram where they mention you in a story or tagging me in that, and I had them this morning, which was great. So it was there was people on top of me before I was, which was good, yeah. I thought they would have forgotten about me.
Life in the City, it's the DP, is it? The lead single off there is already been released. I've checked that out. The video is really cool as well. Whoever did that does a great job on that. But yeah, it's a city that, you know, so it's a song, it's obviously about your city, you're from Dublin, but it resonated with me, and I'm sure will resonate with a lot of people sort of, you know, around the world, really, who've grown up in sort of similar places.
Yeah, most definitely. So where I'm from, and I wouldn't be familiar with certain areas in Liverpool. I'd know the city, obviously, but I wouldn't be familiar with certain areas. But where I'm from is the inner city of Dublin. It's a disadvantaged area, so to speak, and I tried to write a project about growing up in an area where there's no kind of paths paved out for you, or there's no kind of, you're not kind of given any boost up to anything, or you're not involved in any of them kind of, you know, where you kind of get an easier route. I think with what I've been doing is, and a lot of people from the inner city, you're kind of given, look, you can try it, and if it works, it works, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. But I wanted to try and do something that related to the people of the inner city where I'm from, and kind of tell people that's not from the area I'm from what it's like to grow up there and what it's still like to this day, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you must have had really good response to that. I know that the views are good on YouTube and stuff like that. You know, are you pleased with the reaction to that single, you know, ahead of the EP?
Yeah, you know what, to be honest, with the video, I think the video helped a lot because it's very raw, the video, and we kind of, we've often done videos in the past where you kind of do it as fast as you can to get it out, and with this one, we took a lot of time, we put a good team around us for it, and tried to work with some of the best in Ireland in terms of the likings of the actors involved, and the videographers and that, and when we put the video out, the response to it was, usually we probably, you get a couple, maybe 1,000 views within a week or two or something like that, you know, and I think it went up to 1,000 within a day on the first day, and I was getting crazy messages, and it was really good, I have to say, and I was surprised and kind of taken back by it a little bit, but I think it's a very raw song, and the whole project overall is very different, because some people might say, well, that's the style of music I do, but you'll hear kind of I mess about with different genres and that throughout the EP. But that particular song it's one I'm very proud of, and it represents exactly where I grew up, you know.
Yeah, well, as you should be proud of it, it's a fantastic song. I would encourage everyone to check it out. We'll check out the whole EP because, as I say, it is available today. You can stream it in all the normal places. The CD is available on Kieran's Linktree as well, or, you know, download whatever it is you use to listen to music. It is available for there from today. And also, you've got a little tour to support the EP. You're coming over to Liverpool on Thursday, then on to London. And then I know you've got some big dates in Dublin and Belfast. In fact, I think that the Dublin one's your biggest one yet, isn't it?
Yeah, it is indeed. You know what, John, I can't even say when I was a kid I used to dream of doing tours or anything like that, because I never expected to kind of leave my house or my family or my friends in terms of where my music would go. But there's a lot of people kind of getting behind us back in Dublin, and we're trying to now take it across the water and let other people hear the stories and see can they relate to them and see if they enjoy it. And Dublin's my biggest show to date. So the last show we done in Whelan was sold out, and we're doing the Academy 2 now on the 18th of November. It is, and yeah, I'm buzzing. And Liverpool and London, again, I've been to both cities, but I never thought I'd be performing there, and we've had a lot for London. We've had people getting tickets and things like that, and I thought I was kind of thinking it might be more just kind of like a plain sailing where people I know or something like that. But there's people that I don't know are getting tickets, and it's really good, and I'm very excited to get over. And I'm dying to see the reception or field reception of people from what I kind of do. It's probably similar to a lot of people in Liverpool, but. I've never experienced it before, so I'm looking forward to seeing what people, whether they relate to it or whether they say, oh, well, I don't like that or I don't like this, you know. No, I'm really excited, and I'm buzzing to go over Liverpool, and I'm not saying it because I'm on the show, but Liverpool is genuinely one of my favourite cities to be. I've only visited on kind of weekends and that, and I love it. It reminds me so much of back home, so it's... Yeah, I'm buzzing to get over and see. I probably won't like it after the weekend when they all throw me out and tell me my music is shit. Or,
you know? They won't do that in the Angus. It's a proper music pub, you know. Some fantastic artists have played there, so you're joining a pretty cool list of bands and musicians who played at the Angus. But it's certainly a venue that'll give someone a go and have a listen. And I'm pretty confident once they hear your stuff, they're going to be really into it. But yeah, I'll just run through those dates. So Liverpool is at the Angus Tap and Grind on Dale Street. That's on Thursday, September the 22nd. But if you're down in London, you can go to the Green Note Sunday, September the 25th. So that's all over next weekend. So Thursday in Liverpool at Angus, Sunday at London at the Green Note. But if you're over the other side of the Irish Sea, Dublin, November the 18th at the Academy 2, and then Belfast, November 26th at the Sunflower as well, which I know is a really cool venue. So lots to look forward to. Hopefully see some new people. You'll see some new people down there, some Anfield Rap fans who've checked out your stuff. Brilliant. I would encourage everyone to stream the EP to support Kieran, and yeah, best of luck with it all, mate, because I can hear how passionate you are about your music and hear about how passionate you are about what you want to do. You want to give it a go, so yeah, I hope the EP does really well for you, mate, and hopefully the tour goes well as well.
Brilliant, and I look forward to meeting you. And again, thanks very much for having me on. It's great to be given opportunities like this, so thanks a lot, and I appreciate it, and really enjoyable. Thank you.
No worries. I'll be down on Thursday for the pints.
Cheers, man. Thanks. Thank you.
Okay, if you enjoyed all that as a podcast, I hope you enjoyed that. I do support those artists. They're all on all social media platforms, on all streaming platforms and everything. And yeah, try and get down to gigs or just tell them that you like them. You've had a little listen. You heard them on the Anfield app. You had a listen. You thought they were dead good. Because that's nice, isn't it? When you do something and people say it's good. It's always a nice thing to hear. Brightens up anyone's morning or afternoon. Okay, we're going to talk about international breaks. I'm going to talk about who's going where. And we'll start with the forwards and I'll start with you, Paul. And it's funny because you sort of want very different things from, you know, all of them, really. You know, with Mo Salah, I wish he wasn't going. I'd love to wrap him in cotton wool. Whereas, you know, just before the break, we talked about Darwin Nunez, and I mean, there's nothing better than him going away and scoring a hat-trick. Josh is probably somewhere in between, in that he could use some games, but I wouldn't be desperate to see him play full games in all of them. Roberto Firmino is going away with Brazil, I checked before, which is quite interesting because he's been out in and out of squads, as he's been in and out of form, I guess, over the last couple of years, but he is going away. But you wouldn't expect him sort of, you know, to play too much, and again, he's not one he'd class as over. Played really, you know, how are you looking at it in terms of a forward line and what you'd like to see over the next couple of weeks? You know,
I think the main thing is, and we mentioned earlier on, didn't we, about, you know, we're getting back to having a, you know, a squad that resembles one that is, you know, got a few more fit players in. So the international break, it always, for me, it always a bit of a headache. I'm if I'm either watching games or if I'm not and I'm checking on it later, I always do it with my eyes off shut, thinking, you know, I just don't want to see those horrible words, you know, injured or whatever. So I honestly think, John, that there is two ways of looking at it, and you've sort of mentioned it already, that potentially it's a chance to, you know, get some minutes under. Like Jota obviously hasn't had many for us, so if he goes away and gets some minutes and he'll get back into a groove, then great. It's just always sort of, it's next to the fact that you just want them to come back fully fit, with no knocks, so that, you know, they can kick on for us, because there's nothing worse than you just suddenly, you know, your bench is looking stronger, your squad's, you know, you're clicking into a bit of a gear, and then you lose maybe one or two with injuries. So, you know, you mentioned obviously, you know, Bobby. I think it was, you know, it was a bit of a surprise that he got called up, but fair play, you know. I think Klopp has mentioned it in one of his press conferences. He said, you know, does he think he can get in a Brazil squad for the World Cup? Absolutely. And, you know, and I think again, someone might argue and say, you know, do you want Bobby to be, you know, playing to get to a World Cup? I always think that, yeah, if a player is trying to play the best he can to get spotted or to get into that World Cup squad, then that's going to only benefit your club. You know, I wouldn't want to see anyone, you know, resting themselves ready for the World Cup, but you can't do that. So I think if anyone goes away, again, like I said, I'll watch it with sort of my eyes off, sure, hoping that they come back fit. It is opportunity to get some minutes in and hopefully, you know, a couple of them to maybe get a few goals, which might, you know, get the confidence up again.
Yeah, in terms of the midfielders, Adam, Firmino goes away with Brazil, doesn't always start. We've got some midfielders. Thiago can't get in the Spain squad. They're I don't know, they just hatch midfielders in the fields of Madrid and Barcelona, don't they? So they've got about 1,000 to choose from, but no bad thing. Harvey Elliott will go away with England under-21s, so he'll sort of play a bit, but might be nice for him to have a kick about with some lads his age for once, to be honest with you, Adam. How are you looking at it from a midfield point of view?
Yeah, look, I think the biggest thing there is that Thiago's not going anywhere. That's really lovely. I think that's really nice. And I'd like him to just, you know, and I'm sure he's disappointed, but I'd like him to just never go anywhere again other than just wherever he's supposed to on, you know, on our Champions League things or whatever. I don't know, have we got any other midfielders? Like, could anybody be going anywhere? Like, what is Henderson going away with England? Or
England are playing twice. They've not picked Henderson. He is injured. But hopefully he'll be back with
somebody. Of course he's injured.
Everyone is. James Milner swerved it a while ago. Arthur doesn't get much of a look at. Maybe Arthur could spend the next 2 weeks literally shadowing Thiago.
If
we're saying that we need Arthur to come in and like beat Thiago when he's not, maybe like he needs to go method. Right. Like you're an actor, Adam. You know these.
I was just thinking that, yeah, there's a mirror game where you just go like that, you lift your hands up and the hand follow, you follow each other's hands and stuff. Yeah, doing, just get them doing that around Melwood, perfect, shaping the, getting, you know, putting each other's boots on and things. That's that'd be really, yeah, that'd be great. I mean, I'll be honest, John, I'm going on an international break myself, so I'm going off to Greece for 10 nights, so I don't care what's happening, to be honest. And exactly like Paul says, as long as there's no injuries, that's all I'll be looking out for. I don't care about internationals the best of times, but when I'm going to be sat by a pool, I care even less. I can tell you that for nothing. Yeah, no injuries, please. That's my begging.
Tell you what, Greece with Adam Smith sounds all right. Clarence Worley's asked his kite to go in 8 years since there was a little bit of confusion and then conspiracy when it getting announced the squad, and he was in there, and people were sort of saying, well, what's going on here? Is he really injured and stuff like that? Sometimes they just sort of announce squads and then worry about who's fit afterwards. They're not the only country to do it. It's happened in the past where people have been, and they like to sort of assess it and maybe give their star players, of which Keita is obviously one, as much time as possible, but there was never any chance of him going, and indeed he's not.
They did once break him though, didn't they, on an internet when they took him, they called him up for international duty when he was a bit dodgy, they played him and he was out for quite a while, so there was half me that was convinced that we were just going to play him anyway, even if his legs didn't work.
Well, Roy Hodgson did that to Sturridge, yeah, do you remember?
Yeah.
It's really, have you read the Cy Hughes piece in The Athletic today, where it's really quite funny actually, where he basically says about how Keita was signed because he was considered to be really durable by the team, and I was reading that thinking, oh, how did that? What's going on? Do we get a receipt for that, or what? Like, is it? Can we speak to trade description, or what's?
I don't think they were like advertising him. To be fair, like, you know what I mean, I don't think Redbull would have been packaging durable midfielder here for sale. I don't think we can necessarily blame you know anyone, but I've read half of Cy Hughes' thing. What it says is long.
That would be my
feedback. I'll read the rest later on. But yeah, no, I'm sure it is very good. I've always got an eye on times of games as much as anything, Phil, and also where people are going. Like, you've got to watch Brazil, by the way. They love playing in a Mount Gaff. And these Tuesday games that are basically Wednesday. But having a little bit of look, it feels like everyone's more or less committed to Friday, Tuesday this time, which gives us a little bit more time to get everyone back. We've got this private jet diddle that we do with Man City, where about three times a season we act like we're all mates, and Gabriel Jesus flies back with Fabinho or whoever. So I don't know, it looks like to me like they're all going to be in training Wednesday, and that would be nice.
Well, the good news is Brazil are actually playing in France, for example.
I told you, you've got to keep an eye on them.
The only one I've noticed, I've just seen Luis Diaz on Instagram in New York. I think Colombia are playing in New Jersey, a couple of games there. But most of the teams, like even Uruguay, appear to be playing in Austria and Slovakia. So it looks like most nations have been slightly sensible and thought, hang on, there's a World Cup in a few months. Let's try and not make our players unnecessarily travel to long distances. So thankfully most of the players appear to be in Europe, and it doesn't appear to be a general problem. I mean, it's obviously, I'd rather Diaz was in Europe, but at the same time he gets 6 weeks off while they're all going, so he's not too much of a problem. But it doesn't look like the days are important, but also the distance is a huge thing, and it looks like it's not too bad. I think some of the European teams have got three games, haven't they? Like, I'm pretty sure Scotland have got three, so I'm quite glad that Robertson's not involved there. I think England have only got two,
Nations
though, haven't
League,
they? Yeah, it's Nations League. But I think Scotland ended up one behind because of their the World Cup qualifying situation. They got not one out, so I think they're out of kilter with everybody else, so that's not something for us to, thankfully, that knocks on to the likes of England and whoever else we've got players with. I can't even think which European players we've got. It doesn't feel like we've come out of it too badly from the European Nations League point of view, short of Trent. And
he won't play every game you want
to
talk.
To be honest, I would be surprised if he plays at all. He doesn't. I think he calls him up because he feels pressurised to, but just doesn't really know how to use him. I think he'll take him to the World Cup, despite the fact I don't think he really wants to take him to the World Cup, and no one will win out of that. But yeah, we're probably in a better position international footballer wise than a lot of people at the minute, because we've just not got that many people going to the World Cup, I think.
Yeah, it's a funny one with Trent. I agree. Paul, that I feel like Southgate just picks him because he you know, he'll be below the drama, there'll be loads of requests, so I'll just pick him and not play him. I pick the right backs I want to play, and it sort of suits us.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? Because I can't remember if someone, an ex-pro, tweeted like some saying, did the England squad get picked on completely nothing to do with form? I mean, and you can argue, obviously, the likes of Tony, obviously, he's playing well, so he's got in. But obviously, on Trent's performances for us, you would say that he probably didn't deserve to be in it. But again, I think it's mad because he'll go away, and whether he'll get much time, I don't think he will. I think Reece James seems to be his first choice, doesn't he? And long may it continue. From my point of view, obviously, I know Trent would want to represent his country in that. But it'd be interesting to see, obviously, you know, I think Verge is obviously going away as well. I think he's in the Dutch squad, so I think they've got a couple of Nations League games. But I just, again, I can't emphasise enough, like I said, without sounding like a stuck record, I just don't want anyone to get injured. So fingers crossed, whether they've got two games. I think Phil's spot on with the fact that, you know, they're not travelling great distances, the likes of the Brazilians and that, which is really good. So hopefully, you know, we'll get this break on and just, it's nothing better than just getting back into, you know, that Wednesday, as you said, John, when they've all flown back. And they see the pictures of them training, and then it's ready for the game on a Saturday.
Yeah, let's all hope that is the case. Listen, we're going to leave it there. If you are keen to watch some live football, then I would encourage people to go to Prenton Park on Sunday. It's a 5 o'clock kickoff, not a 7 as originally listed. They've moved it to 5 o'clock. Tickets are still available. They're expecting a good crowd down there. They're expecting a record crowd for women's football at Prenton Park, which would be fantastic. But we'd love some more. It's going to be a really tough game against Chelsea. Chelsea are very, very, very good. And so anyone who could get down there and support Liverpool women will certainly help make that competitive. So I'd encourage people to get down there. As I say, tickets available on the club website. Very keenly priced as well, because you want to see as many people get down as women, as the Liverpool women, sorry, go back into the Women's Super League. So if people want to come along, we'll be in the Clipper for a pint a little bit before as well, and probably after, I'll be honest with you. You know, we are the type. But yeah, come down, come and support that. I think that's everything. Thanks a lot to Paul, to Phil, and to Adam for joining us. And of course, Chief Phil's and Kieran as well, do support them. Up the Reds, have a beautiful weekend. Sports Social Podcast Network.